As you prepare your own hearts for communion this evening, let's turn to the first chapter of Colossians, and we'll allow Paul's words there to the Colossian church to help us remember Christ tonight. Starting in verse 15, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Jesus Christ created the heavens for himself. Jesus Christ created angels for himself. Jesus Christ created earth for himself. And Jesus Christ gave life to man for himself. Jesus Christ created man for his own glory. And Jesus Christ created everything that is, that it would be to his own glory. Created works which include mankind fulfill their purpose only when Jesus Christ is preeminent within them. When God first created the heavens and the earth, when the Son of God walked with mankind in the Garden of Eden, he was preeminent in all things. His creation bore none of the effects of sin that we are now subjected to, and man could appropriately exalt him as preeminent in everything they did. But when Adam and Eve took of the forbidden fruit out of a desire to be like God, to be like the preeminent one, to take the Godhead off the throne and ascend it themselves that they would be preeminent, sin entered the world. Sin left devastating effects. Sin marred the created order of all things, and sin brought both physical and spiritual death. Our sin set our minds against the preeminent one, and we turned to evil deeds. We pursued our own desires and waged war on the preeminence of Christ. Our sin deceives us into believing that we are self-sufficient, that we are in control, that we are wiser than God, and that we have a right to pursue whatever we desire, and that it is we who hold everything together. We deceive ourselves into thinking that everything that Jesus Christ created was for us rather than for Christ. Sin prevents us doing what Jesus Christ created us for, namely, that we would be his workmanship within whom he would be first place in everything to the praise of his glory. But sin stops us from fulfilling this purpose and alienates us from Jesus Christ himself for all eternity. But at the cross, he provided a means of reconciling us to himself so that we could for all time in his presence and free from the impermanent effects of sin, joyfully give praise and honor to him as the preeminent king. He did this by offering up his perfect, sinless life as a sacrifice on the cross to pay the penalty of our sin. And it is that death on the cross that we remember tonight in communion. We remember that death because it brought us life. Paul continues in our passage in the next verse, verse 21. "And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." We'll look up to verse 13. "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So tonight, before the men come forward and pass the plates with the bread and the cup representing Christ's broken body and blood shed at the cross, ask yourself, do I desire Christ to be preeminent in my life? Do I want him to have first place in every area of my life? To those who have truly trusted in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, God has given us a new mind and a new heart and new desires whereby men who are no longer enslaved to the sin of self-exaltation can now rightly honor the glorified, crucified, and risen Son as the preeminent King over His creation and over our own lives. You who have trusted in Christ, and after you examine your heart tonight, if these are truly your desires, however flawed your efforts may be, while we're not yet permanently separated from sin in this life, then please, we ask you to join us tonight as we remember Christ's death together by taking the bread and the cup as they're passed. But perhaps this does not describe you. Perhaps you are not even sure what trusting in Christ means. Or you know that you are living for yourself, for your own pleasures, and for your own desires. We're glad that you came here tonight, and we don't want to embarrass you, but this is a time for believers to remember together the death of Christ. But we do not want you to know that this is an important time for you as well. The fact that you are here tonight is a sign of God's kindness. Whether it is for the first time or the 100th time, God has arranged for you to hear the good news of salvation tonight. Each and every evil heart and unrighteous deed will be punished, and man will be held accountable for that which he has done. And without Christ, we would all reap the full penalty of our sin. But Christ has provided a means of salvation through His Son, who paid the price of all the sins of those who submit their lives to Him. So before you leave tonight, I'd ask that you just talk to myself, the person who brought you, one of the elders, and we would love to talk to you about what it means to put your trust and hope in Christ alone. The men will now come forward, and they'll distribute the elements, and when you are prepared, please take communion on your own, and Steve Brotherton will come up and lead us in prayer.